Gospels are laid out from Boston until Pentecost, you'll see that we're kind of at the midpoint of the Gospel. And for today, we have this remarkable Gospel that I think begins to draw a contrast between the activity of the Holy Spirit in the Old Covenant and the activity of the Holy Spirit through our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And it begins, and there, after this feast, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and this feast was the Jewish Pentecost. And now there is in Jerusalem by the chief market a pool. This is Paul in the evil town of Bethesda, having five portions. And so, just in these few words, this pool was a pool in which sacrifices were, first they were slaughtered and they were washed in the pool of Bethesda. And so what's fascinating about it is you have five portions. And here you have the body of water lying and below the five porches. In fact, the porches as they portrayed in icons look something like these arches of the four pillars of the dome. And here is this tradition that from time to time the Holy Spirit comes and stirs the water, and when the first person who touches the water is healed. And I think that five horses represent the five books of Moses. And of course, the stirring of water represents the activity of the Holy Spirit in under the Old Covenant. And from time to time, but not continuously. And so it is that we hear that this man who is a paralytic, and he's been there for many years, and he waits for the pool to be the pool of water to be stirred by an angel, and desires to enter into the pool, but is unable to because he's a paralytic. And so it is that as he's waiting for the movement of the water, even as the sick and the halt and the blind were waiting for the movement of the water with little hope that they would be healed, the apostles and the disciples were waiting for the descent of the Holy Spirit to heal them of their unbelief and to empower them to heal the spiritual and physical illnesses of others. So what we're seeing, I think, is just this contrast of the activity of the Holy Spirit. The Old Covenant. And then it says that an angel of the Lord came and stirred the waters. And so, even as an angel of the Lord stirred the waters of the pool from time to time to keep alive the hope of salvation through healings, so the angelic prophet John the Baptist baptized the Jews with water as they waited for the kingdom of God and the saving baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it seems that these miracles were given by our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ to preserve, to continue to embrace and to preserve and extend the faith and the hope of the coming of the Messiah. And so we have this man who has had an infirmity for 38 years. And so the paralytic waited 38 years for healing. And as you remember, the Jews of old who waited 38 years from the time they left Kadesh Barnea and totally crossed to Zered Valley and entered the Promised Land. It's an interesting concept. So 38 years the Jews waited, and here this man is waiting 38 years. Now Jesus, the Christ, perfect God and perfect man, the embodiment of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit, is the scene, and the contrast is immediately clear. The limited and occasional grace received through Moses and the law is compared to the fullness of grace received through our Lord and God the Savior Jesus Christ, who is the incarnate God, filled with the Holy Spirit. And so with absolute authority, he who is the Word of God spoke the words as he created, and so he recreated man in his image and his likeness. And John the Evangelist teaches us that Christ had the Holy Spirit not according to measure, that is, he had the Holy Spirit in complete fullness, and it dwelt with him fully and bodily. And so we have the paralytic who's waiting for his healing, wants his healing, and the Savior walks into the midst, and so it says in the Gospel, and the same day is the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry that bed. And of course the Savior had taken him by the hand and raised him up and told him to walk and to carry his own bed. And then they asked him, what man is this which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. And what's interesting is the question of, you know, who is this person who had the power to raise him up? Of course, it's an introduction to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And it says that, and behold, and it says, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. And therefore the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. And so after this there was the feast. And so we have this remarkable, in a sense, an attack on our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, our God, and as faithful Orthodox Christians, we need to look toward our Lord for healing. Even as he raised up the man, the paralytic, who was 38 years disabled. So we, deeply within our own hearts, have many difficulties and passions and perhaps dark memories that are deep within us. And perhaps we've suffered abuse of all kinds. And so it is that we've been given the church of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we need to come to the church, and we need to be, as it were, patient on the one hand, but on the other hand, have the faith and the assurance that if we continue on the path of our Lord, that the Lord has laid before us, so then he will take us by the hand and raise us up and heal us and perfect us. And that, of course, that this pilgrimage of faith is itself a great mystery, because when we enter it, we have certain ideas that are immature and not experienced, and we think of our own well-being. And what's fascinating about this is that if you look, for example, at the Apostle Paul, on the one hand, here he had been a persecutor of the Christians, I mean, and at the end of the Acts of the Apostles, it's not just Stephen that he ascended to. There's a long list of martyrs that he participated in their persecutions. And yet, on the other hand, our Lord came to St. Paul and spoke to him and spoke to him with such power that it blinded him temporarily, knocked him off his horse, and sent him into isolation for as much as 14 years, where he learned and studied the things of God. And when he comes, as we see at the end of the book of Acts, when he comes to the very last months, as it were, of his life, he's being persecuted, he's being pursued, and not only being persecuted and pursued by those who desire his death, but also when here he enters the waters on the way to Rome and crosses in this boat, and the storms envelop the ship, and it weakens it, and fragments it, and all of those who are on board the ship are cast into the waters, and washed up against the shores. So not only was he chastised, as it were, externally, but he was chastised internally, which is very, very fascinating, because I think that all of us, we want to have a relationship with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to enter into the life of faith, and we kind of have this naive idea that things are going to go very smoothly, and my life is going to get better, and perhaps we'll earn more money, and we'll be more comfortable, and so on. And as we mature in the faith, we discover that actually, on the one hand, God reveals to us his love and his mercy. He shines his light upon us and enlightens us to the point where we are compelled to remain faithful to him. And on the other hand, in the struggles, the burdens are often increased. And we discover the things within us that have been hidden for a lifetime and that we need to confess and reveal to our Lord. And that we realize that that actually our faith is being tested. On the one hand, this is our entrance is followed with seem very positive and filled with light and joy and expectations. But in the times of temptation, in the times of difficulties, are we going to remain faithful? Are we going to live our lives within the context of the Holy Church? And are we going to always remain steadfast no matter what temptations befall us? And in that being steadfast, it's not a question of negativity. It's a question of understanding that our Lord has come to us, and that he's called us, and that he is nurturing us and strengthening us so that we can be, as it were, examples to those who are close to us, and particularly those who are younger than we are, and that in the midst of great strife, or sickness, or whether it's other infirmities, or disappointment in relationships, or disappointment perhaps in our employment, or whatever it may be, that we always turn to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and we thank him. We thank him that he is with us, and that he is cleansing us, and that he is sanctifying us. So brothers and sisters in Christ our God, as we turn now toward the revelation, as it were, of the power of the Holy Spirit, which will come fully with Pentecost, so that we will embrace the life of the church, and that we'll embrace the words and the teachings of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son,